Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning. God is good and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is so good. Ah, wow, that's all I can say is, oh, wow. Whew, thanking God for this day and all that he is and has been in my life. I am grateful that he woke me up this morning, clothed in my right mind. And all I can say is, Lord, I give you honor, I give you glory, and I give you praise. So we are starting a new month. Wow. A new month as well as a new book of our word today. And all I can say is, whew, it's a little racy. It's a little racy is what I say. And it is the Song of Solomon. It's the Song of Solomon or the Song of Songs, depending on the Bible that you use. We call it the Song of Solomon because that's what's in our Bible. And as always, we're back to our Summit Up. For those that are just joining us, I have a little book. It's just a little tiny book, and it's called Know Your Bible, All 66 Books Explained and Applied. And it kind of gives an overview of the word in 10 words or less. And if you look at the Song of Solomon in 10 words or less, it's married love is a beautiful thing worth celebrating. Can y'all say that with me? Married, I say it again, married love is a beautiful thing worth celebrating. And it says the author Solomon, though some wonder if the Song of Solomon is like the Psalms of David, which could mean they are by far or about him, are by for or about him. Solomon ruled from 970 to 930 BC. It sums up is married love is a beautiful thing worth celebrating. Details, please. Can y'all say that with me? Details, please. Says a dark-skinned beauty is marrying the king, and both are thrilled. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove eyes, he tells her in Song of Solomon, verse 1, verse 15. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Oh, excuse me. Ye pleasant, also our bed is green, she responds. And then through 8 chapters and 117 verses, the two lovers admire each other's physical beauty, expressing their love and devotion. Quotable, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Woo! I'm saying to myself, oh, man, it can get a little racy here. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. I think it's God's love for us. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the flood of drown it. Can the floods drown it? 8 and 7. Unique and unusual, like the Book of Esther, Song of Solomon never mentions the name God. So what? God made marriage for the husband and wife. Enjoyment. And that marital love can be a picture of God's joy in his people. I love that. Let's read that again. God made marriage for the husband and wife's enjoyment. And that marital love can be a picture of God's joy in his people. And I love it. It's unique, just like Esther. God's not mentioned, but we know that God is in charge of marriage, that God is in charge of husband-wife love and marital bliss. But I'm sorry, y'all. When you start reading the quotables, it's like, whoo, Lordy. You know, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Hallelujah. And that's what we have to have in our marriages and in our hearts, is love for each other. So I like to say, Song of Solomon is just a love word for all of us, because God loves us, and our good, our bad, our ugly, our indifferent, we are loved by God. So I thank God for his love today. As we pray, Father God, we thank you for your love today. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your goodness and for your kindness. Lord God, we ask that the words that we read are pleasant in your sight. For Lord, you are our strength, you are our redeemer, you are our Father God who loves us beyond measure. And Lord, we just want to love you back with a heart that's humbled and contrite, and ask you, Lord God, to forgive us if there's anything that we've said, that we've done against your divine majesty. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. God, you are my strength and my redeemer, as you are our strength and our redeemer. And so, Lord, as I stand in the gap for those listening in live and those listening in later, I ask you, Father, to bless them, to watch over them, to guide them, to lead them, and to be their Father God. For there's no dad like you. And I am so grateful to be one of your children and know that you answer prayers. In Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting and putting my whole heart in your loving hands. I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor and I give you glory, for you are my Father God, and I am grateful to be your daughter. In the name of the Master Savior, Jesus Christ, my brother, my friend, the love of my life, praise you in his name. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who truly is the source of my very sleepy strength. When you have things to do, you got to get up early. And so I thank God for waking me up early this morning to handle some things I needed to do. So please forgive the yawn, but I will be all right, because I know that it is a test. Because effective today, I have given up coffee again. And my tea, I've given it up also for the next few days. I'm on a giving up my coffee and tea. Pray for me, y'all, because, you know, coffee is what gets me up and moving. Our tea, mostly tea. I don't drink a lot of coffee, but when I do, I drink it to wake up more than anything. As this morning, I'm going to need all the water I can get. So keep me in your prayers, family, as I go on my water fast for the next 10 days. So thank you, God, for strength. And so I love the way they have kind of set up Song of Solomon, because it has the Shulamite, and then it has the daughters of Jerusalem, and then it has the beloved, and it goes back and forth between the Shulamite, the daughters of Jerusalem, and the beloved, and then to her beloved. So it kind of goes into like a group chat, if you wanted to say it in today's vernacular, a husband and wife, and you know, and it just kind of goes back and forth. And it's just a beautiful love song, is all I can say. And so let's see what it says. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Hear it again, because again, some words, instead of it being Song of Solomon, they call it Song of Songs, as far as the book. But this is what it says, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. And it says, the Shulamite, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointment, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you. Draw me away. The daughters of the Jews, we will run after you. The Shulamite, the king, has brought me into his chambers. The daughters of Jerusalem, we will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. The Shulamite, rightly do they love you. I am dark, but lovely. O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon, do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyards I have not kept. To our beloved, tell me, O you whom I love, where you feed your flock, where you make a rest at noon, for why should I be as one who veils herself by the flocks of your companions? Beloved, if you do not know, O fairest among women, follow in the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats. Beside the shepherd's tent, I have compared you, my love, to my filly among Pharaoh's chariots. Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments, your neck with chains of gold. The daughters of Jerusalem, we will make you ornaments of gold with studs of silver. The Shulamite, while the king is at his table, my spikenard sends forth its fragrance. A bundle of myrrh is my beloved to me that lies all night between my breasts. My beloved is to me a cluster of blows in the vineyards of Engadi. The beloved, behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes. The Shulamite, behold, you are handsome, my beloved. Yes, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The beams of our houses are cedar, and our rafters are fir. Chapter 2, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. The beloved, like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. The Shulamite, like an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in his shade with great delight, and its fruit was sweet to my taste. The Shulamite, to the daughters of Jerusalem, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Sustain me with cakes of raisins. Refresh me with apples, for I am lovesick. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, or by the doors of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. The Shulamite, the voice of my beloved, behold, he comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes. Give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, my dove, in the cliffs of the rock, in the secret place of the cliff. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Her brothers catch us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. The Shulamite, my beloved, is mine, and I am his. He feeds his flock among the lilies to her beloved until the day breaks and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be like gazelle or a young stag up on the mountains of Bethar. Woo! All right now, beloved. And these are a few life lessons from Dr. Stanley from this word. The first is Solomon, Song of Solomon 1 and 4. We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love. It says, human love grows best in a bright atmosphere of frequent and heartfelt praise. Lovers do not tire of hearing their beloved exalt over them. Men and women in love almost can't help but brag about their loved ones to others. This kind of expression endures the lovers to one another. And by the way, neither does God. In a similar way, the best evangelism also flows naturally out of love for God. Hallelujah. That is so true. I love God, and I know that he loves me. How can you not get excited about the love of God and how he loves us even when we're down? We fall down, but we get up because God has given us a hand. And a word for this morning is this: for a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. Why do we rise again when we fall? Because we have the love of our Father helping us up. As little children, we know how it was when we would fall and stumble and scrape our knee. And it would be our dad or your mom picking you up, blowing. Remember how they used to blow the wound, you know, put that little, what is that stuff, mercure comb, you know, and it would burn. Oh, it would burn, but it was a disinfectant. And then they would blow it with a nice, sweet breath to dry it out. And then kiss it and make it better. You know, and you say, does that feel better? And you say, yes. When they say, does that feel better, sweetie? Yes, it feels better. You know, there's nothing like a mother's love. Our Father's love when you stumble and fall. And that's our Father. He loves us like that. He is so good. And we should be grateful and thankful every day that he loves us enough to give us strength, to give us wisdom, to just wrap us in his loving arms and cover us in the cliff of the rock with his mighty wings. We are so blessed to be children of God. And as Dr. Stanley says, God is our lover. Love, like, okay, Dr. Stanley, what you talking about here? It says, love as in his banner over me was love. Wow. God's banner over me is love. It's the greatest gift God offers us, and yet it is the one we have the most difficulty receiving. Why? First, we do not think we deserve his love, which is true. God demonstrates his own love toward us. The Apostle Paul writes in the, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5 and 8. And all we can say is, thank you. Thank you, Savior, for your love. Died for me. You didn't have to come down to this awful planet to save us awful sinners, but you did. And all we can say is, I am grateful. Grateful, thankful, and blessed to be a child of God who was saved from sin by the Savior's blood. And it says, second, we do not understand it, for the quality of his love differs tremendously from our own. We somehow want to believe that he loves us the way we love others, such as viewpoint. However, it leaves us doubtful that he will always love us as the Bible promises he will. Because let's call it straight, we as human beings sometimes love for a season and then go on about our business. You know, little kids, I remember as teenagers, and, you know, you got get your first crush, you know, and it's like always you're crushing on somebody that you know is somebody that will never be in your life. You know, I remember seeing this guy. I just thought he was so cute. I was like 10 or 11, I think. But he was old for my eyes. But he was still so cute. You know, when I grow up, I want to marry somebody who looks just like him. You know, but it was not love. It was little kids, little girls getting into their first blushes of being a teenager or and thinking somebody you're love and love because they look good. Superficial love is what you're heartbroken when you see them with their girlfriend. and because you're just a little kid, you know, but the fact of the matter is that God is love and he doesn't have an age limit. He loves us in our good, our bad, our ugly. He does not care. And when we fall, he picks us up, dusts us off, puts some mercurochrome on our wound, blows it dry, and gives us a kiss and asks if does it feel better. So I thank God for being the father that he is. And then this is what Dr. Stanley said. He says, love is a commitment to the satisfaction, peace, security, joy, and development of another person. God's love is not based on emotion, but flows out of his charged, changeless character. The Bible tells us that God is love, 1 John 4:8. Since it's impossible for him to do anything contrary to his nature, his love will forever remain certain and dependable. In addition, his gift is love. James 1:17 implies that God's love does not change and it exists independently from our feelings about deserving it. We cannot earn it or give anything in return for it. God offers his love to us freely as a gift. Furthermore, the love of our Heavenly Father is perfect. Every one of God's attributes represents the peak of perfection and cannot be improved to any degree. Since his love is perfect, say with me, God's love is perfect. We know it will bless us forever. He will always treat each of us in accordance with his love. Every day you and I walk under the canopy of God's amazing love, which remains perfect and changeless, even if we wander from his will or fail or fall into disobedience. Never allow yourself to think the canopy must be down. It never is. We did not erect the canopy, and neither can we dismantle it. God has always loved you and always will. Release any misconceptions, therefore, and rejoice under the canopy of love. Ooh, what a word. I love you, God. And I'm thankful that you love me back. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 13. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Marital love will always flourish without some alone time. Between the lovers, in a similar way, our relationship with God will not blossom without spending some private time with him. We got to spend time with God, separate and apart from sitting in a church pew. We got to spend some time with God when it's just him and us, when it's just him and you or him and me. Just spending time with God does something for your soul. Just spending time with God. You know, I always say I spend a time when I come home. I unwind in my car. And, of course, it's cut off. I'm in my garage. And I just sit there in quiet and have conversations with God. I guess you could say it's my prayer room on wheels. It's my closet on wheels, because It's where I can just be by myself without any distractions of home. I just sit and spend time with him. So anybody riding in my car should feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, because we have time together. And it's just me and God, and to feel the presence of the Lord just wrap around you, to feel that warmth, you know, sometimes that chill of the Holy Spirit just walking by and just are just sitting down and giving you a hug. You just feel so good about it. And so let us get into our Psalms word this morning. And in our Psalms, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." It's a continuation from yesterday. And it says this, "O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angel spirits his ministers of flame of fire. You who lay the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At the rebuke, they fled. At the voice of your thunder, they hastened away. Over the mountains, they went down into the valleys to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth." And again, a life lesson from Dr. Stanley for Psalms 104, verse 4. "Who makes his angels spirits his ministers of flame of fire? The angels of God are not the cute, harmless little cherubs often pictured in popular culture. They are spirits of enormous power, sent to do God's will. Often God, in his mercy, sends them to help us." An angel of God, and especially cherubims and seraphims, are no joke. God's angels are not cute little things wrapped in a diaper. They're not Cupid. They're not cute. They are ferocious, and they fight for you. Understand, when God puts up a standard around you, he is putting angels around you. He is stopping the flood of demonic forces coming at you. You may be going through some mess in your life, but understand, from that mess is going to come a powerful message, because God is going to help you with his angels clean it up and clean you up. As Donnie McClurkin said, we fall down, but we get up, for a saint is just a sinner who fell down but got up. We got to know who we belong to. Hallelujah. You belong to the Most High God. I belong to the Most High God. And he loves us. And he puts his wings around us. He covers us. He keeps us safe. And when we stumble and fall, he picks us up. And this is what our Proverbs says in Proverbs 24:15-16. "Do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not plunder his resting place. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity." You know, sometimes we get upset because we think that wicked people have gotten away with something. You know, it's like, I'm falling, you know, and I can't get up. And that's, you know, the commercial for the Life Alert. I've fallen and I can't get up. But we understand that when we fall, we can get up, because the hand that is leaning down to help us up is the hand of God. We fall down, but we get up. Why? Because that righteous hand, that righteous man, that is our God, is picking us up, dusting us off, and allowing us to continue for another day. Thank God for the pick me up. Thank God for the hand that helps you up. Thank God that you are righteous. And though you fall 7 times, you will get up again. As the song says, get back up again. He's waiting. We can get back up again. Oof, what a word this morning. And now we're getting into our New Testament word, and we are coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 7-34. And it says this, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. And let's go back over again to verses 1 through 16, which were in our word yesterday. And this is what Paul said in verse 13. Judge among yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? So we're talking about covering. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? And, you know, you go to that word, you can only think of Epsilon with all his pretty flowing hair. And what happens? All that pretty flowing hair got caught in a tree, and his horse went on, and he's hanging there by his hair, and it's killed by Joab. You know, the thing is that your hair can be sometimes a detriment, and it's as though it's quite right. It dishonors him. But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. Your hair is given to you for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Okay. You know, Paul hits you straight as he goes along, because he'll say stuff and you're like, what? And then he clarifies. And that's why you read the word in context. And this is what Paul is saying. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. But first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. But there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Come together in one place. It is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and no one is hungry, another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, and every time I read this, it does something to my spirit. You know, we normally read it on Communion Sunday, but when you think about the sacrifice of the Savior for you, the sacrifice of the Savior for me, the sacrifice of our Savior for us, it should fill you up, because that's love. Because even though a righteous man may fall 7 times, he gets back up because of this man, this love, this relationship between you and I and him, between him and our Father God. As he stands in the gap for us every day. As he stands in the gap for us every day. As he stands in the gap for us every day. As he gave his life for us. Why? Because of love. And here we are fighting over stupid stuff. Having hissing over stupid stuff. You know, and it's the same kind of foolishness. Well, I'm with this one and I'm with that one. I'm in this group and I'm in that group. Well, I'm a vaxxer, I'm a non-vaxxer. Well, I believe that this and that, and I believe the other. Well, I'm with, you know, with the former president. Well, I'm with the new president. Well, I'm a Republican. Well, I'm a Democrat. Well, I'm an atheist. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm a Methodist. Well, I'm a this and I'm a that. All that divisiveness is not from God. It's not from God. And Jesus didn't give his life for that goofy foolishness that we come up with in this planet. That's not of God. And you're not of God if you're sitting there all the time creating confusion, pity. God did not want us to be divisive. He wants us to love each other. And how can I say I love God and hate my neighbor? That I'm a hypocrite and a liar. I can't not hate God. I love God and hate my neighbor. I hate my neighbor and say I love God. Oh, I'm sorry. There's no God. That's that crowd too. Oh, I'm believing all that stuff. And, you know, I can't say God bless you. Oh, because I feel offended. Because I'm an atheist and I don't believe in all that God stuff. Well, you know what? I do believe in that God stuff. Because I've seen him work in my life. I've seen him work. And if I say bless you, it's because I want him to bless you and to watch over you and to cover you because you have no protection. Because you have no belief. You have no faith. That God can and God will, and that our Savior gave his life for us. This is what Paul says. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Every time you take the bread and drink from the cup, you are remembering the sacrifice of the Savior for you. And we all know that normal communion Sundays for most of us is the first Sunday of the month. And on this first Sunday, when you hear this scripture, or when you read this scripture, picture in your mind the Last Supper and the Savior giving out the bread and giving out the wine and knowing that this is the last time he will eat with his disciples and the physical, that it is him giving up his life, his body, his blood for you, for me. Salvation was not free. A life was given for us to be saved. And we have to give ourselves away so the Lord God can use us. For his glory is not about you. It's not about me. It's all about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For they are one. And we are their humble servants. We are his humble servants. And this is what the word says. Jesus broke the bread. And it says again, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as I drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine before you take that communion cup, before you eat that bread and drink that wine. Understand this. You got to do a self-evaluation. You got to ask for forgiveness. You got to have your thoughts and your mind and your spirit right with God. Tell us, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. And that is our word for this morning. And some life lessons from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. Do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? While we all come to faith as individuals, God calls us to express our faith in community. That's where we go to church. That's why we go to church. When we act without consideration for others, members of God, Christ's body, we despise the church he died for. Corinthians 11:26, Dr. Stanley says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And Dr. Stanley says, the Lord's Supper not only looks back at Christ's sacrifice and gives him praise for his willing obedience to the Father, but also looks ahead to that day when we will see him again and reign with him in power. Hallelujah. He's coming back. The question is, will we be ready? Will we be ready? 1 Corinthians 11:32. When we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. God does not discipline his erring children because he is disgusted with them, but because he wants to spare them the greater pain that comes because of persistent disobedience. His mercy prompts his discipline. Obedient child, God disciplines us. When we are obedient, yes, we will fall 7 times. But because we are the sons and daughters of God and righteous, we will rise up again. But our Father is helping us up, dusting us off, and kissing our boo-boos. Why? Because he loves us. Just as a father loves his child. I say this morning, family, don't forget who's your daddy. Don't forget that you are sons and daughters of God. Don't forget that you are loved. And whatever you're going through, God is going to be there with you. He's going to be there holding your hand. He's going to be there dusting you off. He's going to be there kissing your boo-boos. He's going to be there helping you up. Because the word says a righteous man may fall 7 times. Come on now. But how do we rise up? We rise up again because we're sons and daughters of God. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. But when you get that word in context, it shall fall by calamity. We don't want to be wicked. We want to be righteous. That even when we fall, it's God that's helping us get back up. When we have a boo-boo, it's our Father God that's kissing it and making it better. We
are God's sons and daughters, and he loves us more than anything. And all he asks is for us to love him back. Just as the Shulamite woman loved her beloved, we got to love our God and thank him every day that he loves us back. And before we get out of here this morning, if there's anybody that God has given a word, please dial 213-943-3597. Again, the number is 213-943-3597. And your line will be open. And in the meantime, while we wait for any caller that God may have spoken to give a word, a word from our sister in Christ this morning is this. And this is from Carolyn's gift. It says, good morning. God blesses our days as we live our life for him. Have a wonderful Wednesday. And I ask you to please continue to keep our sister in prayer as we all go through, our sister in Christ goes through. But every day she has a word for each and every one of us. And all I can say is thanking God for our beautiful gift as a psalmist to give a word that makes your day, that brightens your day, that helps you get through your day. So keep our sister in prayer as we keep each other in prayer. And our scripture for the day that God gave me this morning, my verse of the day, is Proverbs 22:6. And, you know, we'll talk about it, but as we talk about the righteous man falling 7 times and getting up again, the word of God tells us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. We got to have that Proverbs 22:6 in our minds as we look at our grandchildren and our children and our children's children, that we need to train up that child in the way they should go so that when they are old, they will not depart from the training that you gave them. And that training is to love each other as we love ourselves. And that is all the word I have this morning. It's Proverbs 22:6 again. Train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that is a word for somebody this morning. As you train up your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren in some instances, remember that what you instill in them in their youth, they will not forget when they get old. I thank God for my mother. I thank God for my parents. You know, and when I say my parents, they are my great-uncle and great-great-uncle and great-great-aunt. They're my mother's great-aunt. Who came when we needed her the most. God sent them. And I am grateful that my mother allowed me to live with them and allowed them to be part of our village to help raise me. I thank God for my grandmother. I thank God for my other great aunts and uncles and my aunts and uncles who also poured into me. I thank God for the Satellite Club and the Willing Workers, and the Missionary Society, and all the people, the YPD, and the Girl Guards, and the Corps Cadets, and all the captains and majors from the Salvation Army that I came in contact with, as well as the teachers, preachers, and presiding elders that I came in contact with. I thank God for being able to go to not one church, but two, and loving being there. How many kids like to go to church twice a day? I have my hand up. I did, because I loved being in the house of God. And I go from my very hymn-induced hymn service and, you know, kind of word that was a good word, don't get me wrong. For all my folks that grew up with me, don't get mad at me. But the word was not what it needed to be to bring us to salvation. It was a good word, It was a Bible-based word, but nobody was getting saved. It's one thing to join a church. It's another thing to be saved. And then I would go to that tambourine playing, Holy Ghost freedom that came from going to the Salvation Army and seeing people just worship freely and not being ashamed to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is good, and he's good all the time. And I am so grateful to be a child of God. So I thank you this morning again for listening in as I get all filled up remembering how I was so blessed to have been raised by wonderful people in my life. So I say, be a part of a child's village, because it really does take a village to raise a child, to train up a child in the way he should go, that when he is old will not depart from it, and that that child will be a righteous man who may fall 7 times. But because they are God's children, and they've been trained up in the way they should go, they will rise again. So keep God first in whatever it is you're doing, and know that you are loved. You are loved. You are loved. You are loved. And I just want to say, I love y'all. And there's nothing you can do about it but love God. Keep God first, family, and know that you are special to the Lord, and he loves you. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And as we say every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of the matchless and wonderful Savior, who we call Jesus Christ, who is our brother, who is our friend, who is our Savior, who is the Son of God, and who loves us unconditionally, and who stands in the gap every day, every minute, every hour, every second, watching over and interceding for you. Have a blessed day, family. As we say, I'm moving forward. It's a wrap. Join me tomorrow as we talk some more about love with the Song of Solomon. Woo! But we know that the road of Sharon is Jesus. Hallelujah. And we are blessed to be in his loving arms. Love you all, ladies. Love you all, gentlemen. Love you all, family. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap. And again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. Again, I pray over you and yours in Jesus' name. Be blessed and have a wonderful Wednesday as our sister in Christ has instructed us. Have a blessed day, family, and have a wonderful Wednesday. It's a wrap.